Dilo Aruna Purababa Jai Dvijamani Gora Mani Jage Lo Aruna Purababa Bhakata Samuha Loya Sate Gela Nagara Vraje Tatai Tatai Bhajalako Yanagana Tahi Janjera Rom Preme dhala dhala sonaranga charame nupura bhaje Mukunda madhava yadavahari bolena bolore badana bori Michi nirabhase gelore rate jivasa sarira saje Nemana dulabha manava deha Payaki koro bhavana keha Ebina bhaji le jasoda sutta charame podi belaje Na bhaji le jasoda sutta charame podi belaje Udita tapana hoi lo astam Dinage lo bole hoi bibhyastam Tabe keno ebe alasa hoi na bhaja hridoya raje. Jivana anitya chanharasai tahena na vidha viparabhai. Aina na vidha kori jatane tumi taha kapana kaje Mitaka apana kaje Jivara kalyana sadhana kam Jagate ase e madhuryanam Avidyate miratapana rupe hridaya gane viraje Miratapana rupe hridaya gane viraje Krishna nama shuddha koriyapan Jurayo bhakati vinoda pran Nama bina kichu nahi kawara Chauda bhuvana maje Nama bina kichu nahi kawara Shara Bhuvana Maje Namad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Nityagaur Haribo, 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 Gaur Haribo, Nityagaur. Nityagaur Haribo, 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 Gaur Haribo, Nityagaur. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice-born, Lord Gaurasundar, awakened, and taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside towns and villages. The madungas, coal, resounded, tattai, tattai, and the judges, large metal kartals that looked like small cymbals, in that kirtan, played in time. Lord Gauranga's golden form slightly trembled in ecstatic love of Godhead, and his footbells jingled. All the devotees chanted the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people loud, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This temporary life is full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen like the shining sun. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur." Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So as we all know, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Yada yada hi dharmasya." Whenever there is a decline in religion and a rise in irreligion, at that time I descend. And why does he descend? Paritranaya sadhunam, vinishaya chaduskitam. Paritranaya sadhunam, to support the sadhus, saintly persons, and Vinashaya Chaduskritam, to annihilate the miscreants. Dharmasam Stapanartaya, and reestablish the principle of religion. Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. For that reason, I come millennium after millennium. So in the age of Kali, he comes as who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone remember the verse from the 11th canto about Lord Chaitanya's appearance, this 5,000-year-old verse predicting Lord Chaitanya's appearance? Guess that's the second line, yes. He's Krishna. Krishna Varnam. Krishna Varnam Twas Akrishnam. He's Krishna, which means also blackish, but he's Akrishna. He's not blackish, or golden. Krishna Varnam Twas Akrishnam. Sangha. And what does that mean? Yes, his astras, his weapons. Yes, he comes with his associates and weapons. What? What's it? Sacrifice. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar. Yes, he comes to perform the Sankirtan, the sacrifice of congregationally chanting the names of God. And finally, Yajanti Hisumedasa. What does that mean? Yes, Medasa means intelligence. So Sumedasa, those who are fortunate and intelligent, very intelligent in this age of Kali, will worship him. So this is Krishna's avatar for the present age of quarrel and confusion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as predicted 4,000 years before his birth. So this appearance of Lord Chaitanya is characterized by this last line, Yajanti hi Sumedhasa. Those who are very fortunate, those who are very intelligent, will worship him. In other words, it's an age of extremes. Either people are extremely fortunate or extremely unfortunate. And those who are fortunate have this opportunity to hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his primary astra is what? His weapon. His primary weapon is what? Yeah, that's one of them, but not the holy names, yes. The holy names. So, although he was a great scholar, and he defeated such great outstanding, as we heard Friday night, such great outstanding, or not defeated, but he educated such great learned persons as Ramananda Roy, Maharaj Prataparudra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sanatana Rupa Goswami, many others. He left only 8 verses. The Goswamis alone wrote something like 1,000,000 verses. The 6 Goswamis compose 1,000,000 verses. The Mahabharata, just for perspective, is 180,000 verses. So what the Goswamis' literature comprises 5 times the amount of the Mahabharata. So they were very learned and very erudite scholars. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who inaugurated the whole movement, just left 8 verses. So these are the quintessential verses, the very essence of bhakti. And this, the name of these, Shikshastikam. Astikam means what? 8. And Shiksha, instruction. So these 8 verses, right, of instruction. Now, these are very much related to the holy name because, first of all, it's all about the holy name, but they're also progressive in their revelation of the holy name. So that's what I'd like to do this morning, go through them one by one and just discuss a little bit how, through them, the holy name, the Lord reveals himself as the holy name. Okay? So can we chant this one together? It is a rhythmic. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakairava chandrikavatarinam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditioned life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is a prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So, do you remember the other day we talked about the three themes of devotional service? The three really areas, not stages. I used to think they were stages of devotional service, but my friend Bhakti Rupa corrected me. They're not really stages. These are three methodologies of practicing bhakti. Good. Yes. Prayojana. Right. Very good. So sambandha means yes, a structural. Abhideya is process, the functional, and prayojana is the goal, right? So in sambandha we become cognizant, like philosophically, of our relationship with the Supreme. And then in abhideya we get engaged, and in prayojana we are tasting ecstatic love in that engagement. Okay, so these are the successive or the respective description. So, considering that, what category would you ascribe to this verse? Sambandha. Why? Yes. Good. That's the structure, the basis. Glories to the holy name. It cleanses the heart so that. Cheto Dharpana. Dharpana means mirror. Right? And marginum means cleaning. Right? And Cheta means is consciousness. Yes, like Chaitanya. Or Chaitanya. So this is derived from the same root, Cheta. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Cleansing the consciousness. And then Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapana. What is Devagni? What is Agni? Fire. Yes, so this Mahadevagni, this great fire of conditioned life, and it's really like that. Even these days we've got a lot of fires burning around the area because of the dryness. I spoke to my mother in New Mexico yesterday, or Sunday. So the whole state is on fire alert. And they're having ashes pouring in and smoke blowing in from fires in Arizona and all the way over the next state. You know, and so there's no water for the whole year, practically no rain. And so there's a big fire. And I was thinking as she was saying this, she was like frightened by this. And I was thinking, man, she's surrounded by a blazing fire and she doesn't even know. Because even in the green forest, what's going on, you know, where it's all lush and green, everything is eating everything else and everything's trying to stay alive for some time and everything is dying. So it's all an all-consuming fire going on all the time. In this material world. So that is Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam. It extinguishes, the holy name extinguishes this blazing fire which is always tearing at our hearts. Shreyak Kairava Chandrika. What is Chandra? The moon. Yeah, so Chandrika Vitaranam. Does anyone know the meaning of Shreya? Credit? That's a very economic way to describe it. It means, yes, good fortune. Yes, like that. Whereas there are these two things, Shreyas and Prayas. And Shreyas, Prayas means immediate gratification. Shreyas means long-term benefit. So Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The holy name is compared to the moon. It's like less A few days ago, there was a full moon, very bright and beautiful. And the moon is, according to the Bhagavad Gita, responsible for giving vegetables their flavor. The moon rays give the taste to vegetables. But in any case, it is a very cooling thing to see the moon beams. You know, the sunshine can be very intimidating and scorching, but the moonshine is always, and I don't mean moonshine in the southern sense. In the southern United States, they call illegal liquor, which they make by brewing corn in moonshine. They do it at night when no one is watching. So this Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitarna, this it spreads the rays of the benediction moon, Shreya. Everybody is made fortunate who is upon whom these rays shine. Prati padam purnamrita swadanam. So what is pada? Padam? Yes, pada means feet. So padam would mean, what do the feet do? They step, yeah. Prati padam. Right? So I'm not mistaken. Prati padam is at every step. Purnamrita, what is amrita? Nectar, yeah. Purna, what is purna? Full, like in the Ishopanishad, Om Purnam. So Purnamrita Svadhanam, the taste of the full nectar at every step. We missed one there. Yes, Vidya Vidhu Jivanam. Yeah, sorry. So Vidya means, and Vadhu means wife. And Jivanam, life. So Vidya Vidhu Jivanam, this process of chanting is, as far as knowledge is concerned, it gives it life. Like, it's one thing to have theoretical knowledge, but it's another thing to live it. So the chanting of the holy name takes whatever knowledge we have and brings it to life, as much as a vadhu, a wife, enlivens her spouse. See, this is the ideal relationship between husband and wife, that the wife is always a source of inspiration to the husband. That in order to, the wife is, oh dear, you're so wonderful. Yeah. Yes, I know, thank you. The wife is meant to be the wind beneath the wings that lifts up. So in the same way, the knowledge that one has is just dry and empty without the life, the vidyavadhu, the wife of that knowledge. Vidyavadhu jivanam, giving it life. So the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So that last line, Sarvatma Snapanam. So what is Atma? The soul. And Sarva? All. So all souls. Snapana. What is a Sna? Like Snana Yatra? To bathe, yes. Sarvatma Snapanam. It is bathing all souls with this benediction. And therefore, Param Vijayate, glories, all glories, supreme glories, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, to the process of chanting the holy name. So this is the Sambandha, okay? This is the setting the stage, the glorification of the process. Yes?
So in many verses I've noticed that it's like the last line is in the translations put on top, and yeah, the translations are, yeah, if you actually go through word, like line, word for word, the translations are all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that work?
The Sanskrit language is so much more flexible than English. In English, if we rearrange words in a sentence, then the meaning becomes obscured or at least confusing. Like Yoda in Star Wars. You know? He always putting subjects at the end of sentence always is he. So it gets your attention. In Sanskrit you can do that. It's completely flexible to put anything anywhere, and the meaning is still the same. In English. You've been reading the Sanskrit? It's like Latin. Which, of course, was derived from Sanskrit. So you follow? So according, the word might have a certain... can we find an example here? I'm not a linguist by any means, but anyway, according to the way the word is structured, the next word, the word next to it, is connected or not connected. And it's referring, it indicates which word it's referring to by the certain case that it's in. So, anyway, Sanskrit is much more flexible. And that's one aspect of it. But the other is that in doing these translations, Srila Prabhupada expressed his own poetic understanding of English and presented it in a way that, assuming his audience would not know the detailed meaning of each word. So what sounds best in English, that's what he has chosen for these translations. Okay, so as long as all of the content is there, it is within the purview of the translator. But you notice the word wife does not appear in there. Okay? So any ideas why Prabhupada would omit that? One reason. Pardon me? It sounds so weird, for one thing. Yeah. The wife of transcendental knowledge? What? You have a tangible thing, a wife, and then an abstraction, knowledge. So it's very poetic in the original, but he just leaves it to say, it is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Because that conveys the basic idea that this chanting gives life to whatever you know about spirituality. Otherwise, without spirituality, it's like a lifeless, dry, a husband without a wife. Which doesn't always sound so bad, but anyway. All right, incomplete. All right, any other comments about this first verse? This is the longest one. Okay. Nam namakari bahuda nijasarva shaktis tatrarpita niyamita smarene nakala etadrishitava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivami drishamiha janinanuragam. Together, please. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. So what is this verse in terms of the theme? Again, Sambandha, yes. He's talking about the formulas. Okay, there's hundreds and thousands of names, and there's a little taste of Abhideya there at the end. Unfortunately, I have no taste for them. You make yourself so accessible to these countless names, but I have no attraction for them. Any comments on this? See, it's these names, you've invested all your transcendental energies. There's no hard and fast rules. Out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you. So there's some process there. Yeah. Okay, but it's mostly formula. This is the verse, by the way, which Haridasa Thakur, the Namacharya, the great exemplar of chanting, said that every Vaishnav should wear around their neck. String it on a thread and wear it around your neck. Trinada pisani chena terora pisahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord. Anyone recognize the word taror? Three. Yes, taror apisahishnuna. Yeah, taror. Like kalpa taru, the desire tree. So, dorora pisa hishnuna. More tolerant than a tree. What is more tolerant than a tree? Anyone ever see this book by this great writer? What was his name? Saul something? Silverstein, yes. Yes, one of his books is called The Giving Tree. It's such a nice book. There's a tree, and the boy comes, and he swings on the tree, and he plays under the tree, and he takes apples from the tree, and then he grows up, and the tree's always giving him shelter there. And then the boy comes back when he's grown up, and he cuts down the tree and builds a house. There's a lot of, oh yeah, he and his girlfriend, he carves in the tree. And then he needs to build a house for his wife, so comes and cuts down the tree and builds a house. Yes, so the stump is just sitting there. And then an old man, he comes and sits on the stump. So the purport of that is the tree is just this giving, tolerant entity. So that is how one must be. In other words, unlike me, all the people around me make stupid mistakes, so I just have to become tolerant. This is actually tolerance means to really be appreciating the good qualities in other people. Otherwise, it's not possible to be tolerant. You can't be like just pinching your nose with somebody, but rather it's valuing the qualities that they have. Anyway. Amanena manadena. Here's the essence of human relationships. If you want to be a well-loved and respected person, all you need to know is these two words. Amanena manadena, which means what? Yes, not expecting any respect from anybody. And manadena, giving all respects to everyone. Respecting others. Like Radhanath Maharaj is the exemplar. His disciples say he can praise an amoeba. Find something to value in everyone. Amanena manadena. And then if one has these attributes, what is the benefit? Right, what is sada? Always, constantly. One can always chant. What is this verse in terms of its theme? Process. And this is all Abhideya, pure Abhideya. Any other comments on this? Sunanda Prabhu, feel free to chime in anytime, please. Well, this is applied chanting. You know, how to chant. Okay, so in the previous verse it says, okay, one should chant. That is the functional relationship. No, but the process now, from chanting, and in this process, these are the subjective experiences. Yeah. Well, that's the point. If we are able to chant humbly, then we'll be constantly chanting. And if we're constantly chanting, then where will our humility be? So, by being humble, we can constantly chant. By constantly chanting, we can remain humble. It's like the chicken and the egg in reverse. One is feeding the other. You don't have to worry about which one comes first. That's a very nice. The grass is walked on by everybody. See? The grass is trampled by everybody. So, in that sense, first of all, it's the lowest. But there's a practice in the Indian villages where if somebody has done something very egregious, right, they will put a straw between their teeth. And then the village, everybody knows everybody. So it's a much different society than which we're accustomed to. Everybody knows everybody. And so if somebody does something terrible, like kills a cow accidentally or hurts another person, and then they go into this period of remorse in which they stop working. They won't eat. They won't earn their livelihood. They just go to every house in the village with a straw between their teeth. And they knock on the door and stand there. And the straw is meant to keep them from talking, because they have it clenched in their teeth. And so the person at the door can then heap all the abuse. You have done this. It has hurt this person. It has hurt me so much. And they can just tell them what they think about what they've done. And they have to sit there and listen to it. And then if the person then appreciates their repentance, then they give them something to eat. Otherwise, they have no food because they're not working. They cannot earn. So they have to do this at each house in the village to show their repentance. So this is the symbolic meaning of the straw in the street. Awesome. How can we practice that? By serving the other Vaishnavas. You know, always being very eager to serve them any way that we can. Nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishware bhavatad bhakti rahaita ki twayi. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. Dhanam is what? Yes, and janam? Huh? Jana. Jana. People, yes. Followers, yes. Nadanam, najanam, and sundarim. Beautiful women. I don't want any of these. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwar. I only want your causeless devotional service life after life. In other words, even if I have to suffer the pain of birth and death, that's fine as long as I can have your service. So that is the difference between the personalist and the impersonalist. The impersonalist says everything else is extraneous as long as I can serve you. The impersonalist is always thinking how I will be liberated, how I will become supreme, how can I gain a relief from my suffering. This is always a self-centered motive. But Vaishnava means I'm completely happy if I can just serve you under any circumstances. And as a result of this great joy in your service, I don't want any dhanam, janam, or sundari. These are very deep affections in the heart of everyone. Money, popularity, and beautiful spouse, beautiful woman. What a powerful thing. Even if people had the notion that getting rid of desires would make them happy, they would think this is, you know, they wouldn't understand how it could be more joyful and nourishing for one to be able to just serve God as opposed to having all the things of this world that usually make people so excited. Any other comments on this? Is this Sambandha, Avideya, or Prayojana? It's definitely got theme of Prayojana, of taste. There's also some Avideya there in terms of process. Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundaram. In other words, you can't really advance in spiritual life while building up your dhanam, janam, and sundari. So there's some process there also.
Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam buddhao kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya.
O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. After renunciation, look what comes next. And in the last two verses, we read about renouncing the desire for respect and then specifically dhanam, janam, sundari. And that renunciation is coming automatically by the process of chanting. Right? So now look what the person comes to. After going from being a big, big man, you know, having an idea that one is a big, big man, and I don't need any of these things. Then one comes to this further step of self-realization, which is very naked and scary. You know, whoa, I have fallen into this ocean of death. We read the bhajans of Bhaktivinoda and other acharyas, and many of them are full of sentiments like this, that I've done something really foolish, and I'm in big trouble. See, so usually the idea of self-realization is romanticized as, now I am God, now I am supreme, now I am free of suffering, now I'm enjoying, In general, I know when I got into spiritual life, that was my motivation. There was a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine many years ago. This mountaintop in India, and there's a wizened guru sitting on the top with a long beard, and the bedraggled aspirant is climbing up the edge of the mountain, and he's saying to the guru, "When I was 25, I made my first million. When I was 30, I was a chairman of 3 companies. But now I've left it all behind, and I've come here to the Himalayas to become the best damn guru in the business." So, there's an idea of becoming, this is the supreme sense gratification, you know, to become God. Or to become one with God. And then I'll show them all those people who dissed me. These are the subtle anarthas, unwanted things. But in reality, when we come face to face with ourselves in spiritual realization, we have this experience. Whoa, I have done some very stupid things. And somehow or other, I'm in this situation where I'm just being born and die, born and die, born and die, born and die. And I'm suffering like a dog. And I'm helpless. I am helpless in this situation. You know, the Alcoholics Anonymous organization, actually a very nice organization, because they have a very God-centered theme. So people who become addicted to substances and alcohol and cannot stop themselves, the first thing they have to do, they have a 12-step process. But anyone know the first step? I am powerless to do, yes, I am powerless before this substance that is controlling me. And I, without the aid of a higher power, I cannot get rid of it. So it's impersonal. They don't get more specific about that higher power, but that each step is related to that. So this is the result of chanting. One doesn't think, okay, now I am a big chanter. One thinks, well, I'm a big, big fool. Yes, ISKCON is a little better than me. I'm giving the whole philosophy here. The Prabhupada was quoted in his obituary, I believe in the New York Times, someone was telling me the other day, that he was asked about the popularity of his movement. And he said, if you are selling diamonds, there will be not many customers. If you're selling cut glass, many people will buy from beads. But to sell diamonds, very few people will pay the price. So this is the price. You know, not that, okay, come to me and I will make you God. I'll make you a spiritual big shot. But no, come to Krishna and you'll realize how stupid you've been. So, but people are not interested in that. You know, it's not very attractive. You can be God or you can be eternal servant. Which is more appealing. Only problem is, our real position is eternal servant. Okay, anything else on this one? This is, what do you think? Sambandha, Abhideya, or Prayojana? This is your position, I'm your eternal servant. It's Abhideya in the sense, please pick me up. It's admitting the helplessness of our position. In that sense, it's Abhideya, too. Yeah. Process. Any other thoughts? Okay. Let's go on. Nayanam galadashudharaya Vadanam gadgada rudhaya gira Pulakair nichitam babukada Tava nama grahame bhavishyati. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? What is this? Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. This is Prayojana, huh? The ecstatic symptoms. So yes, this is the science of bhakti, that there are these ecstatic symptoms that manifest automatically in the persons, one who's advancing in Krishna consciousness. So these are some of them. Uncontrolled crying, choking of the voice, and horripilation, standing of the hairs on end. Horripilation. Yes. And I will sell you that word for $1.95. Blood? I believe that means like goosebumps and standing up here. So you can look me up and look it up and correct me if I'm wrong. What is this? The spelling bee? Horripilation. Could you use that in a sentence, please? No, I don't know the spelling, but I believe that is a technical term for like goose flesh. When your hairs stand on end. There are other ecstatic symptoms as well, such as being stunned, Do you remember a few others? Nectar of devotion. Laughing. Hiccups, yes. Sunanda Prabhu and I saw Srila Prabhupada exhibiting these symptoms in Mayapur that year in 75. He was speaking on Lord Narasimha Dev, and all of a sudden he became quiet. Just stopped speaking. And once in a while in my career, I have seen a devotee stop speaking in Srimad Bhagavatam, during a Srimad Bhagavatam class. But it wasn't because of ecstatic symptoms. It was because they didn't quite get enough sleep the night before. And during one of the thoughtful pauses, they would just go, But as I recall, when he did this, Srila Prabhupada was just seemed to be living the pastimes as he was describing. And often when he would be speaking, it seems like he's just right there in the presence of Lord Narasimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj, seeing and participating in all this. So suddenly he just stopped speaking. And it was quiet for a long time. Nobody knew what to do. There were probably 200 devotees sitting around. And everyone was sort of feeling this ecstasy and this trance that he had entered. And then finally Hansaduda, one of the senior devotees, started the kirtan. And that was it. And everyone started chanting slowly, and then Prabhupada just stopped the class and then left. And later when he was asked about it, he looked embarrassed and he said, "I don't do that very often, do I?" So these are uncontrollable symptoms. And here Lord Chaitanya is saying, "Oh, when are these things going to happen? They're not happening to me now, but when will they happen?" So this is a mood, it's called lalasamayi, hankering for advancement in spiritual life. He knows the symptoms, but he also knows that I'm chanting, but these things aren't happening. Therefore, my heart is still very hard. It has not been softened yet to the point where I could feel what I'm actually saying and to whom I'm actually speaking. Any other comments on this? What is the Sambandha Avideya Prayojana? Oh yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, but yes, in a way, it's kind of Sambandha also, isn't it? That, okay, I know these things are going to happen. When are they going to happen? But then the difference is now he's got a desire. In other words, we may not be self-realized, but if we at least had a desire to be self-realized, you know, then, so he's expressing at least he has this desire for the goal, for the ultimate conclusion. Okay, yes, please.
What is a better attitude, the verse 4 or verse 6?
See, these are progressive. So it depends on where we are in our progress. This is a very advanced sentiment, to feel actually sad that I don't have love for Krishna. Even in the Gita, Krishna talks about best thing is to love me without reservation. And if you can't do that, then Abhyasa Yoga Yuktina, follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga. Because in that way you'll develop a desire to attain me. See? A devotee once asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why is Maya so strong?" Prabhupada said, "It's not that Maya is strong, your purpose is weak." So if our purpose is very strong, if our desire is very strong to see Krishna, then we'll have these ecstatic symptoms. So this is expressed in this verse. It is more advanced than verse 4, where one is shedding the attachments, losing interest in the things of the world. It's far beyond that, actually. Okay, verse 7.
Yuga yutam nimeshena Chakshusha pravishayitam Shunyayatam jagat sarvam Govinda virahe name.
O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Sambandha Abhideva Prayojana. Prayojana. Now I'm feeling this whole world just looks not just repulsive, but just empty, meaningless. Every moment without you in my life is like 12 years. And now, whereas before, in the last verse, he was talking about when will this happen? When will these ecstatic symptoms appear? Now they're appearing. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, uncontrollable. And I'm feeling all vacant in the world in the absence. Shunya. Shunya means what? Zero. Yes. Shunya yitam. Jagat means what? Yes, the whole creation. Sarvam. Shunya yitam. Jagat sarvam. The whole creation looks like nothing. Because nothing appeals to me at all. Govinda virahena. Because I don't have you. If I don't have you, Krishna, then everything else, nothing else is of interest to me. Any other comment? Yes. That's the point. It starts off with all glories to chanting. And all this, and now we're all the way up to, oh, there's nothing in this world without Krishna. And this great sorrow, transcendental sorrow. You know how it is. When you get sad about something, it's hard to shake it. It can be hard to shake it. It just persists and persists. And to be sad about being away from Krishna also persists and persists. But that's a good sadness. It's actually ecstatic, like the residents of Vrindavan. That Krishna left them and they are always feeling this separation, always feeling great pain in their hearts. And that pain was their ecstasy. So this is a similar expression. Ashlishya va pararatam panashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yatatatava vididhatumam pato mad prana natas tu saivana pura. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. Some very interesting words in this verse. Adarshanam. What is darshan? What's that? Yeah, literally it means to see, yeah, darshan. So adarshan, if I cannot see. Yes. And then that word lampato in the third line. You know the meaning of that? It means a debauchee. Like a husband who runs around with other women. Lampato. Itatata, whatever and whenever, whatever you do. You can even be a degraded woman chaser. Whatever you do, you're completely free to do it. You are still mat prana. What is prana? Yes, so you're mat prana natas anatta. What's that? Master, yes. Mat prana. You are my life and my master. Unconditional. So, this is even a higher stage. This is the highest stage expressed in these verses. That in the previous verse, one was feeling all vacant sorrow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing this great sadness of separation from Krishna. And then finally, in this verse, he's saying, okay, even if you're separate, even if I can't see you, I will not change my determination to serve you. So you're completely free. You can be present before me or not be present before me. It makes no difference. That is your decision. I have no say in the matter. Either way, I will always be your servant. So again, generally, because we're very fruitive in our thinking, we're going to do something and we want a result, right? And if we don't get the result, we're not going to do it. But in bhakti, the ends and the means are the same. The end, the means is bhakti, devotional service. And the end is more bhakti, devotional service. So this is the realization that one comes to by chanting, that as long as I can serve Krishna, I'm satisfied in any condition. And Krishna may reciprocate with my service or he may not. That's his problem. Whether he does or not, I'm not deviating from my service. And he can even take my service and just throw it in the trash can. And he can appear before me or not appear before me. Padaratam, he can crush me beneath his feet. He can mistreat me in any number of different ways. And it's not that if God doesn't do what I want, then I'm taking my toys home and I'm not playing anymore. You know, this is a very big issue in theology. People, you know, have things happen in their lives even after being very pious and religious, and they lose faith in God. How could God have done that? When after 9/11, Billy Graham, the foremost American Christian, made this statement that my entire life, people have asked me how God could let innocent people suffer. And I have never been able to answer that question to my full satisfaction, he said. I thought I really appreciated that statement, very honest. But he said, still I have faith that God is good and he has his reasons. So that was a very sincere and honest expression of God consciousness, just not very well informed. Why does God let us suffer? Because we wanted to be away from God. And being away from God means suffering. It's not his fault. So now, unconditionally, however he makes my life, now, okay, I'm going to be God conscious as long as things are good. And if he doesn't make them good, then I'm going to forget about it. So this is conditional service, whereas what Chaitanya is talking about, unconditional service. That's the culmination of these prayers. And this is what? Pure prayojana, yes, just the expression of ecstasy. These are the realizations of an ecstatic, self-realized person. Whatever God does is fine with me. I'm not giving up my service, because my service I can do. Whatever else may happen, I can perform some service. Any other comments on this? Yes, please.
And this is also the means. Is this so? We should pray like this, that I'll not leave service, but whatever may happen.
We should pray according to the level of our realization. Of course, it's always fine to repeat these, but not prematurely try to imitate these feelings if we don't actually have them. It would be good if we are new to Krishna consciousness or still neophytes on the path. It's good for us to chant Trinadapi Sunichena, Tipurorapi Sahishnuna, this Manina Manadina. Let me give all respects to others. Let me not want any respect for myself. Let me be tolerant. Let me be patient. Let me, please, we can pray like that. Just please let me always chant. Okay.
So, is this last verse is the natural position of all the jivas? This is the natural feeling of all the jivas.
Yeah, when we are purified, this is the natural feeling.
Even for jivas in the Vaikuntha planets, where mood is all reverence and
this is the highest expression. I see what you mean. Yes. This is the highest expression, because there's no question of suffering for the those in the Vaikuntha planets. That's the meaning of Vaikuntha, without anxiety. But Goloka, Lord Krishna's planet, is even beyond the Vaikuntha planets. And there is this kind of suffering, which is actually the highest ecstasy, because there's a constant aching in the heart for Krishna. And separation, it's like when somebody breaks up in a love affair, what happens? Day and night, can't sleep, can't stop thinking about this person. Everything reminds you of this person. Every song on the radio, right? It's either I'm so happy I found you, or I'm so sad I lost you. So this is transcendental sorrow that is pure ecstasy, because in this mood you cannot forget Krishna for a moment. It's like you can't forget your beloved when you're heartbroken. So you can't forget Krishna for a moment. Yeah, all right, thank you. Anything more? Yes, comments? Such beautiful prayers, huh? So this will lead us to some discussion about chanting the holy name for class today at 11 o'clock, 11 to 1:30. And we'll have at least an hour and a half of that to practice chanting. Learn a few techniques. And this is not going to be a full-blown japa seminar, which is like a seven-day immersion. We're going to do 2 days part-time. But still, there will be some benefits, I hope, for you. For us all. No, June. This is it, yeah. Come here. Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Shri Shikshastakam ki jai.